Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to Deep Dish Radio. I'm Tim Powers, and this is my show. Hey, I am really excited for today's show. You're going to love this. My friend Bruce Sudano, singer, songwriter, band leader, all-around swell guy, has chosen Deep Dish Radio to debut his album With Angels on a Carousel, brand new, and it's available wherever you get your music. Go to your local record store and ask for it. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's on BruceSudano.com. It's on Bandcamp. Go get it. Go get it right now. But what's really cool is Bruce joins me in studio and actually plays a few tracks live in the studio. These are exclusive, never heard anywhere else, played live right here in the Deep Dish studio. This is an exciting day. If you're not familiar with Bruce Sudano and the music that he has created over the course of his storied and historical career, here's a little sample of some stuff that he's done.
Is there anybody here from Brooklyn?
Okay, now you see what I'm talking about. The man is brilliant. He's talented. He's an amazing singer, an amazing songwriter. And not only did he play here live in the Deep Dish studio, but I got to see him just recently as he began the West Coast leg of his tour. He's opening for legendary rock and roll Hall of Fame British invasion band The Zombies, one of my all-time favorite bands. And Bruce puts on a fantastic show, just him and his guitar and his partner, who is an amazing musician as well. And so if I were you, I would get to the Zombies show early. Get ready, they may be coming to your town. And they are working their way up and down the West Coast, all over the Western United States. And you can see Bruce opening for the Zombies wherever you go see your live music. The Zombies are a fantastic show. Colin's voice hasn't... It sounds just like it did 50 years ago, which is an amazing thing. And gosh, it was just one of the best shows I've seen in a very long time. And man, I can't say enough good things about Bruce. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. If you like this show, I'd encourage you to tell your friends. I encourage you to tell people who are fans of Bruce Sudano and the other music that he's been involved in. Let them know about this show. And if you like it, not only tell a friend, but gosh, get on iTunes and leave me a review, would you please? That would be fantastic. I would be very, very grateful. I love to read mail from you guys, so you can email me, tim@deepdishradio.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, @deepdishradio. You can also just leave me a review on wherever you get your podcasts. I'm pretty much everywhere, but I would appreciate it on iTunes because that seems to be the most visible thing. Love the feedback, and love it if you would tell your friends. So that's it from me. Let's really get into what Bruce is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, my very good friend, Bruce Sedano, live in Deep Dish Radio Studios.
Nice to be here, Tim. Good to see you today.
Hey, man. This is really cool. We are today we're discussing with Angels on a Carousel, which is an album that carries some significance. And I have recently come in contact with this album and really just from an artist standpoint, just dug it, dug the spiritual, emotional arc that you go through. Through the album, I think one of the things that I told you is if more artists put as much of their soul into what they did as you did to this album, the world would be a better place. Tell me a little bit about what brought you to With Angels on a Carousel.
Well, this particular record, I was going through the most traumatic moment of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived pretty much a charmed life and really a life where, you know, I really had nothing to complain about. You know, I've been seriously blessed. And then I got to this point where after being married for 30 years and getting to a place of where, hey, we're going to cruise for a while with life. Kids are grown. Everybody's happy. My wife got sick.
Yeah.
And it completely changed the whole trajectory of my life. And so, you know, having been a songwriter for many years, you know, my place of rescue really is to write. And so in this, you know, basically 14-month period from when my wife got diagnosed to when she passed away, you know, I was pretty much on lockdown with her.
Right.
And in between, I started writing these songs.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, it deals with some very real life issues and has its moments of darkness or storm of life. But, and I think the thing that saves this record is really Donna, because at some point, you know, I would play her little bits of what I was doing. And she said to me, Bruce, you know, you can't not give people hope. She said, in the midst of anything, you know, part of your responsibility is to give people hope. So, you know, I had to find a way within myself to, you know, find a place of hope. And I think in doing that, you know, it resonated within me that I was able to find the hope that I could pass on, but it also was a hope that I found that enabled me to get through this time and to walk forward after it. You know,
that's it was that response, Bruce. You got to give the people some hope. Was that pretty typical of your wife's character? You know,
Very typical.
Yeah.
You know, she was an encourager.
Yeah.
And by nature. And, you know, that's what she did in her music and that's what she did in her shows. I mean, she empowered people.
Was it, was finding that hope typical of you?
I'm a pretty hopeful guy. Right. I'm not really a depressive guy. I'm a pretty hopeful guy. And, I'm a faith guy.
Right.
I'm somebody who was blessed with the gift of faith. So, you know, even in the darkness, you know, I still have hope, and because I have, you know, so there, you know, there, I deal with that in this song. It, just in the first song on the record, is called "The Will to Believe,"
right?
And you know, and you know, that song's really just coming, you know, coming against the naysayers and resisting the naysayers, in spite of what, you know, people are saying or what the world is saying or what the prognosis is or whatever. You know, it's about faith and the will to believe. You
sure.
know, and you know, we don't have time for you know, self you know, just, you know, self-depression or you know, over analyzing every situation to the point of immobilization, you
sure.
know. So anyway,
I didn't mean to get heavy right off the bat, man.
Yeah, really.
But you know, this is the album takes place in a very heavy time for you,
yeah.
And a very private time for
yeah.
two people who lived a very, very public life.
Yeah.
So the burden of it, my friend, had yeah. to weigh heavy on you, and that yeah. is heavy through a lot of the albums. But the hope is absolutely there. As you went through the process of writing this group of songs, as an artist, where did you end? Where was the final point where you go, okay, I'm done with this set of songs and I can move on to the next project?
Well, I mean, this might be the first song that you play, but it's called "All Those Years Ago."
Okay.
And why I say that is because that song, I started that song before my wife, I even knew my wife was sick.
Yeah.
And basically it was a song just chronicling our relationship. And from how we met and how we tried to resist each other and how we tried and only to come together and, you know, transitioning into, you know, a life of responsibility and being parents. And you know, the song had a third verse. But the third verse no longer fit the song once, you know, my wife died.
Yeah.
So I rewrote the last verse of the song. And so basically the song now chronicles the beginning of our relationship to the end of our relationship. You know, if you can even hear it, when it gets to that third verse, that there's even a change in the sound, because it, you know, it was done later,
right.
You know. So
why don't we give that a listen, man?
Go ahead.
Okay.
All those years ago when we first met, a time in our lives we won't forget. Sparks and fire, flames of love, yeah, we were the unlikely ones. Yet to us it was plain to see that me and you, you and me, were born to be as one forever. We tried to fight it, we tried to run. We both lost, but we both won. I lost me, and you lost you. But we found each other, that much is true. Every day's when we first fell in.
old babe in our arms. Still wrestling with our dreams, trying to understand what grown-up means. Now the time is not our own, always family close at home.
That album's called With Angels on a Carousel, that song, All Those Years Ago, and its composer and vocalist, Mr. Bruce Sudano, is in studio with us right now. An incredibly personal song. I watched you as we played it, and I watched you kind of get lost in your history and the memories that only you really know, man, and it's powerful. By itself, a great record. I love the keys in the back, you know, kind of a, it sounds like kind of a Hammond in the back, you know?
It is. I played it. So, I was the, I played Hammond B3 in Alive and Kick in my first band. So,
wow.
So,
is that you on accordion too?
It's not really an accordion, but yeah, it's me.
Oh, okay.
It's an accordion sounding like instrument.
Got it. Got it, man. And that album is available right now on iTunes and available at brucesudano.com. It really does kind of go through the trajectory of that relationship. And
yeah, it's a bit of a saga.
Well, but at the final verse, man, there you are. And you're like, all right, I can stand up. I can put the world on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got this amazing life, that's behind me, but not forgotten. And I can move on. And here's some more songs about it as you go through the album, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, some of the things I watched you, like I said, go through some memories while you were listening. What kind of things were going through your head as you heard that record?
Well, you know, I thought about, you know, you know, who I was, who we were when we first met. You know, we were in our mid-ish 20s, and we were wild, and we were passionate, and we were driven for our careers.
Yeah.
And then I thought about raising our kids. We raised our kids out on a ranch in Thousand Oaks.
Right.
And great days, football games with Donna making pizza in our pizza oven and feeding the football team. You know, we had a football league out in that all the musicians would the session players would come out on the weekend, and we had a football league.
Crazy.
And, we started one year where it was just going to be flag football. And this was at a time I was making a record with Joe Esposito, and Michael O'Mardian was producing it. And it was a record we were doing for EMI. It was called Joe Bruce and Second Avenue. It was a record that, really nice record, but it got aborted at some point. But I converted one of the barns at the ranch into a studio, and this might have been 1986.
Okay.
And so that was the year the Mets were going to win the World Series, and so we were recording that record and watching the World Series at the same time, and on the weekends we would play football in the front pasture.
Okay.
And all the musicians would come out, and it slowly evolved from a flag football game into where everybody had like full gear, and you know, and people started getting hurt, and we were like, okay, this has, you know, we did it for 2 years, and then right. We realized, you know, but anyway, you know, Donna used to make us pizza for our halftime,
right?
You know, and she made some really nice pizza. She used to make this pesto pizza, which was really awesome. But anyway. I see,
that's the kind of stuff that I was kind of I was looking forward to hearing. Like, you know, who knew Donna Summer made great pesto pizza? You know, there's stuff in that song that everybody can relate to. Everybody who comes out of a long relationship,
yeah.
regardless of the circumstance,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you raise your kids together. You find yourself when you're young. You grow up together. You know,
yeah.
you go through changes in attitude in your belief system, in your core values. You know, you're a lot different than you were when you were a kid sitting in the Casablanca boardroom at 25, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Not only that, you go through menopause.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
that's a journey for a guy and a girl. Well, it's a journey for the guy with the girl.
And you raised three girls. So
you
there was a lot of hormonal stuff around you, man.
Yeah, well, yeah.
How'd you handle that,
brother? The studio.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think, Donna was really good about, you know, I'm a guy who likes to have my space,
right.
But at the same time, I don't like to be alone. And so nobody
should be alone.
Yeah. So, right. so what that means is that, you know, I mean, I would get up and I was able to go, you know, work wherever I was working, if it was at the studio at the ranch or somewhere else. But then come home and sit at the dinner table with three daughters, a wife, a mother, and a housekeeper.
Oh, man.
So, I'm a stud. No, just kidding.
You're a masochist, Bruce.
Right, maybe. Maybe that's it. but great times, great girls. I have great... Oh, you know, I'm a girl fan.
That's why people get into rock and roll, man.
Well, no, I don't but that too, but right. I'm a big believer in women, you know.
Yeah.
I generally think that women are a lot, you know, can be a lot smarter than guys in many instances, and certainly more intuitive, and you know, I have a lot of female friends.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of guy friends too, but I really appreciate women.
But it balances that tough guy from Brooklyn kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not such a tough guy, but, you know, but you always think that when there's somebody from Brooklyn, you know, it's like, I was like,
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was never really a tough guy. I was pretty much of a wimp. I'm the kind of guy, I mean, I got in a fight when I was 12 years old and with the bully in school. And it was basically, you know, because he was taking advantage of somebody else. And it offended me that, you know, I reacted.
Right.
You know, and I noticed that about myself is that pretty much the only time I really get, you know, aggressive is when somebody else is being taken advantage of. It kind of like shakes my nervous system up a little bit. But anyway, we're getting into psychology.
Yeah. Which is all right, but that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about this this album.
How about I play a song?
Man, I'd love it. I'd love it. What do you want to play?
I'm going to play a song that I've never done off this record. It's the title track of the record. It's called With Angels on a Carousel.
Okay.
And I've never performed it in a public way, and I'm not too sure of it right now, but I want to try it.
Okay.
And then we can talk about it a little bit.
You got it.
Okay. Let's see. There it is. Spending time with angels on a carousel, diving in a wishing well, living in the present with the past. Who knows what tomorrow brings? Could be any one of a million things. So hold on tight, 'cause life is spinning fast. And it goes round. Up and down, it goes round. Round again. So grab the ring and clang the bell. We're riding with angels on a carousel in this world of endless possibility. So many thoughts occur to me, all the things that were and might have been, the melancholy man in me dreams of things that still could be, and mourns the ones he'll never see again. And it goes round, up and down, it goes round, round again. So grab the ring, clang the bell, We're riding with angels on a carousel. Know the mystery of it all. Oh, the mystery. And it goes round, up and down, it goes round, round again. So grab the rein and clang the bell. We're riding with angels on a carousel. Riding with angels. There you go, mistakes and all.
Didn't hear a single one of them. Title cut to With Angels on a Carousel, Bruce Sedano's album, and live in the studio for the very first time.
Yeah.
Performed in any public space, which is kind of a shame considering you've been on tour recently and you're kind of withholding that from the public. It's an amazing and beautiful song. I remember when I first played it, man, I was on my way home and I'm like, this is really something. This is really where the heart and soul of the album is.
Yeah, you know, I in preparation for doing this with you, I kind of, you know, went through you know, some things about the record today, you know, and you know, what I realized about that song and why, you know, I named, you know, the record for that song is that I realized that, you know, that particular song encapsulates all the themes of the record, you know, the storms of life, the loss, the surrender, the redemption, the change of things, you know, and you know, all the things that we live through in our lives, our past and our present, and you know, the people that we've known and that have affected our lives, you know, we carry them all with us as we go forward, you know, and you know, and the thing that I realized at the end of that particular journey is, you know, you have to keep living and, you know, grab the ring, go for it, you know, keep going. And go for the gusto, go for the gold,
go,
you know,
for, yeah.
And you know, and I think that's, you know, the philosophy that everybody should have for life. You know, people get in bondage to their fears, and you know, for a long time, this has to do with my own personal fear.
Right.
You know, my personal fear was to do what I'm doing right now, to sing in public my own songs. So because I had that fear, you know, I was able to avert confronting myself with it by putting bands together and being in bands and being surrounded by great singers, Joe Esposito, Eddie Hogenson, Pepe Cardona from Alive and Kickin',
right,
and my wife, Donna Summer.
Right.
You know, so, and then I got to this place in my life at this point and it was like, okay, Bruce, you know, now, you know, shit or get off the pot. You
sure.
Know? So here I am. So, you know, I like to say that at this point in my life and at this age, I am still in a place of discovery.
Sure.
And
that's part of being an artist, you know.
Yeah.
At the top of the interview, you had mentioned, you had said that you led a charmed life, which, you know, from an objective standpoint is true. But I think what the message in With Angels on a Carousel indicates why that charm was there for you, because when the opportunities presented themselves, you said yes, you know, you went along with it.
And that's not to say that I didn't fight for opportunities,
because
I did. I mean, I was an on fire highly driven young guy.
Right.
You know, but that what my fear was to sing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, you know, I'd get in front of people and, you know, I would, I mean, there are videos, funny stuff really, of me performing, you know, there's a video from the Midnight Special of the Brooklyn Dreams and Donna, and we're doing a medley of songs.
Okay.
You know, it's Donna sings Maybe and Heard Through the Grapevine, and Eddie sings The Way You Do the Things You Do, and Joe sings Good Lovin', and I had to sing My Girl in this melody, okay, medley. And there I am singing My Girl, and if you look at me, I look like, you know, I'm having an out-of-body experience. Like, my eyes are, like, wide open, and, you know, my mouth is dry, and it's because I was just nervous.
You're terrified, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would think, you know, this is probably 1982, 1983.
This was earlier. It was probably 1979 or okay, 1980, something like that.
So, you know, on one hand, the audience can be forgiving because, you know, they're... Yeah. Certain substances floated around, not to imply that anyone was done at that
well
time.
There was probably some of that in the mix at that point as well. All for right. Sure, you know, for sure.
I read an interview with Rick Nelson's kids. And he said, man, when they reached a level of notoriety, I think one of the things that they said is, man, we understand why Dad closed his eyes when he sung on TV, because he was scared to death.
Yeah.
You know. And that memory stayed with me the first time I ever went on stage at the Comedy Store.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm terrified. I know yeah, my material's good, but I'm on the stage.
Right.
I'm on Richard Pryor's stage,
right,
you know? And fortunately, the lights were in my eyes enough that I couldn't see the audience, so I could just go ahead and do what I did on muscle memory. But, man,
well,
I know exactly what you
muscle
mean.
Muscle memory, that's exactly right. You know, that's, you know... It's funny that you say about closing your eyes, because that's something I'm working on myself right now. Because
yeah,
a few of my friends have been like, Bruce, you know, everything is good, but you need to open your eyes every now and then. I mean, you know, I'm like, I do open my eyes. They're like, not really.
Not really.
So wow. Let's see. Well, when you come to the Rose on Friday night, you let me know if my eyes are open.
Okay.
Shout it out. Yo, Bruce.
Open your eyes. Kelly's got another tart for you.
Right. There you go.
Well, cool. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a minute. Let's take a break, and we'll regroup. We'll be back with Bruce Sudano right after this.
It's Deep Dish Podcast. Subscribe today and tell a friend about Deep Dish Podcast with Tim Powers. With Tim Powers.
Hey, we're back with the very talented Bruce Sudano, and Bruce and I were just talking about the muse, about what it is that really motivates people to get up and get out of bed and do what they do. And I think one of the themes that I took away from with Angels on a Carousel is, you know, it's okay to acknowledge that you know, you've got a past and that things have happened the way that they have, but there's still tomorrow. And as long as your heart's beating and as long as you're breathing and as long as your brain is still thinking about stuff, there's an opportunity for you to change and do and become whatever you want. And as you said, grab that brass ring.
Yeah.
And we were just talking off mic, and one of the things that you said that was so beautiful is, man, you got to save that little boy.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you got to stay in touch with that little boy, that little kid who was, you know, imagining all kinds of things. You know, when you're a kid, there aren't walls,
right?
You know, and you just, you know, you dream and anything is and everything is possible. You know, and as we get older, you know, we tend to put restrictions, and you know, we see the mountains and we don't see the sky. You know, and so I always try within myself to stay in touch with that little boy.
Yeah,
and I think when you do that, it always, gives you the opportunity and the place to dream. And as long as you can dream, you're free.
Yeah. Do you remember that point of being that little boy? Maybe you were listening to WNBC or WINS or whatever, you know, whatever you were listening to.
WMCA.
WMCA. And do you remember like a couple of the cuts that came on where you're like, yeah, I want to do this?
Well, the first, you know, I remember the first time that I sort of got the feeling of, you know, music and was as a 9 year old, I went with one of my cousins to the Brooklyn Fox.
Okay.
And it was, you know, a Murray the K show. And, you know, there were numerous acts. It was the Impalas and it was, Little Anthony and the Imperials and you know, it was just a lineup of performers, you know,
right.
And I was like, I didn't realize that you could actually do that. But it was right at that moment that, you know, flipped a switch in me that, you know, gave me the dream.
Yeah.
You know, the fantasy of the dream. And then, you know, then there's lots of little kids who, you know, were, you know, in the basement singing into a shoe brush or a hairbrush.
Right.
And
either way.
Yeah. But you know, the youthful dream, you know, just don't let go of it. I don't let go of it. So, you know, in my mind, I'm just a little kid.
There you go, man. And that's why, I mean, you've got that sparkle in your eye and you just, I mean, when you're in the zone, you're in the zone, man. So, you know, the album is about you processing this really kind of dark phase.
Yeah, tragedy.
Right?
Yeah.
But you come out of it, the guy that's sitting in front of me right now, who's still that 8-year-old kid in Brooklyn watching Little Anthony and the Imperials, you know. So where are we now? You know, where's your heart now? Where's your spirit now? Where's your songwriting muse now?
Now... I have a bunch of new songs that I'm actually going to New York in 2 weeks to start recording the next record.
Okay.
I'm recording it in New York this time. It's the first time I've recorded on the East Coast in a while, and I'm excited to do that. And most of my songs are story songs. So because of this political climate that we're in, I've been writing some politically infused songs,
okay,
which are kind of interesting for me. And then there's another song that's called When Cinderella Dies. And
whatever inspired that, Bruce?
Well, you know... Here I am again, a single guy out in the real world.
Right.
You know, and I've been encountering women again for the first time in a long time in my life. And, you know, I just ran into a bunch of these middle-aged, single mothers.
Right.
Who, for one reason or another, got dumped by a guy,
right,
and are raising their kids on their own and trying to work and trying to figure out who they are at this point in their lives.
Right.
So the point of that song is, you know, the punchline is, who do you become when Cinderella dies? You know,
I was on completely the wrong track. So there you go.
Well, what track were you on? I'm curious.
No. Well, I mean, I was still kind of stuck on the, with Angels on a Carousel kind of track.
Cinderella Dies.
Yeah, Cinderella Dies. No, that's an excellent point. Here you and I are talking about, you know, hold on to that little bit of Peter Pan that you have.
Yeah.
Right? And then metaphorically to our sisters.
Yeah.
It's hold on to that Cinderella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, there's a whole culture of these women out there. And I was like, wow, you know, and, you know, typically, you know, in many of these cases, these are women who are, you know, smart and strong and in some way or another gave up their own, you know, youthful dreams and desires and focus it more on the family and raising the kids and then all of a sudden wind up, you know, trying to figure it out on their own again, right, and recapture or, you know, redirect themselves. So anyway, when Cinderella dies, anyway. So,
wow.
So, you know, that's I don't know how I got on that, but yeah.
That's your message, man. Yeah. That's your message for this show is hold on to that 8-year-old in you,
yeah,
that wanted to be on the Murray the K show or,
yeah,
or wanted to write DC Comics, yeah, or wanted to be, right, Cinderella, or,
yes,
you know, wanted a handsome prince with a guitar.
Yeah, yeah, you know? You go. Yeah, yeah, that's it, man. That's it.
So there you go, man. That's what you want to leave us with.
Yeah. How about I do one more song?
Yeah.
And it's from With Angels on a Carousel. And it's a bit of a rocker on the record. I'm doing it a little bit different these days because of the acoustic vibe. But, you know, it was the song
I got a Les Paul if you want to crank it up.
No.
All
right. I would like to, but right
now. All
right. This was the song that I wrote right after Donna said, you need to give some hope.
Okay.
So it's called At the Dawn of Hallelujah Day.
Let's do it.
It's been a battle, a bloody war. Been so much fighting, don't know what for. So many hurting, feeling the pain. Where's the sunshine? Tired of the rain. How much can one man take before he breaks? Hold on, hold on, hold on, all right. Don't throw your hope away. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold tight. We're at the dawn of Hallelujah Day. We're at the dawn of Hallelujah Day. Hallelujah. We need redemption, the whole damn truth. Too many greedy, there's no excuse. Where's the justice? What is the plan? We're only human. Give us a chance. How much can one man take before he breaks? Well, hold on, hold on, hold on, all right. Better times are on the way. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold tight. We're at the dawn of Hallelujah Day. We're at the dawn of Hallelujah Day. Shout to the sky, a hopeful cry of longing and desire. Shout to the sky. Hallelujah. Light in the tunnel, we don't lose faith. Maybe tomorrow there'll be a change. Things will get better, we don't give up. Just keep believing in the power of love. How much can one man take before he breaks? Well, hold on, hold on, hold on, all right. Don't throw your hope away. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold tight. We're at the dawn of Hallelujah Day. Yes, we are at the dawn of Hallelujah Day.
My guest is Bruce Sedano, and his album is With Angels on a Carousel. It's available on iTunes and at brucesedano.com and wherever you buy your music. I encourage you to walk into your local brick-and-mortar record store, if you can find one, and demand
there you go.
That they get this thing. It is pressed on CD, and the digital releases are available, just like where I said. Bruce, it's a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Tim.
This is great. I trust that you will come back.
I will.
And
we'll do it again.
Next time you sing that song, brother,
yeah,
open those eyes.
Ah, got me. Great. Thanks, Tim. I will.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.